March 16th, Sunday morning, second session of the morning, introduction to Mishnah and Talmud, Masechet Brachot, Perek Shishi, Mishnah Vav. Hayu Yoshvin Lechol. Of course, we remember that that word Yoshvin, with the nun ending at the end, is the true Mishnaic form, whereas the biblical form and the modern Hebrew form is to make it Yoshvim with a Yud Mem at the end. And if we'll find in Mishnaic text that the masculine plural is made with a Yud Mem, it's because copyists have unconsciously changed the Mishnaic form back to a biblical Hebrew form. But it's really, it should be, as it's written here, Hayu Yoshvin Lechol Kol Echad Vechad Mivarech Latzmo. They were sitting to eat, each of them blesses himself, in other words, separately. Hesebu, they reclined, they got up on their couches and reclined for the formal meal, echad mevarech l'chulan. Balem yayin betoch hamazon, which means the servants brought yayin betoch hamazon while they're eating, kol echad bechad mevarech latzmo, everyone mevarech separately. Lachar mazon, and it seems to be a continuation of the previous phrase, in other words, if ba'al lehem yayin lachar mazon, then echad mevarech lechulam. V'hu omer lamugmar, and that same person, apparently the same person that said the bracha over the yayin for kulam, he says the bracha over the mugmar of the spices, the bracha of, on the reach, on the smell. Even though they don't bring the mugmar, rather after the whole suda is finished. So now let's read the Bar Tanura to get some background on the Mishnah. And the Bar Tanura extends over two different pages, page one and then page two in the booklet.
We fell down on the shop.
You didn't do the Bar Tanura?
We didn't get close.
You didn't even get close. So we'll do it together? No problem.
Where's the first part of it?
Here, the first page and then the second page. So where's the Bar Tanura? The Bar Tanura, here it says, this is the Mishnah where my finger is. This is the Mishnah. Mm-hmm. Here's the Bar Tanura. Mm-hmm. Here's the Tosfot Yom Tov. So we're reading the Bar Tanura at the beginning of Mishnah Vav. It has a bracket there. It's going to begin on this page, go on to the next page. Mm-hmm. And this is blown up 1.3 times. Mm-hmm. Hayu Yoshvim. Everyone see the place? Mm-hmm. Below Haseva.
Yeah,
right? They were sitting below Haseva without Haseva. They were sitting literally in chairs, not on beds. The Siman, who it's a sign, Shelo Nitva'adu. It's a sign that they didn't Nitva'adu. Let's think about the word Nitva'adu.
Right,
they were all separately. They weren't coming together. How do I know that word nitvadu means come together? You see the word there, vad, like, you know, a committee of a Beit Knesset, a vad is a committee. It means a group. Or think of what we had in the book of Shmot that we just finished, and the book of Vayikra that we're starting, the Ohel Moed. Ohel Moed, how do they translate it? The tent of?
Meeting.
Of meeting, right? And a Moed, by the way, same thing, a holiday means a meeting, a coming together. So Vad, Moed, they're all from the same root. Vav, Ayin, Dalid. A Vida, you might have, perhaps, a Vida is a convention. Hitva Adut, the Hasidic Hitva Adut is a coming together. Nitva Adut, they didn't come together. Okay, so read the sentence from the beginning. Below Haseva, they were sitting without Haseva. V'simanhu, and it's a sign that shelo nitvadu, they didn't come together, lechol yachad. Lechol, together. Lechol yachad. So as long as they're still sitting and they're not yet lying down, the formal centralized community or group meal did not yet begin. It's just the hors d'oeuvre. They're milling around in the anteroom, just like at a wedding, right? They're not yet together. Everyone's talking separately. There's no central focus.
I'm sorry, as opposed to, I mean, do we know that all of these circumstances are with respect to the formal process of meal? as opposed to, oh, this is just an they're at an inn and a bunch of people at a table. They weren't together.
It seems to be a progression here.
Okay.
Right? The Mishnah talks about first they were Yoshvim, and then Alu Hasebu. So we're looking at the steps here in a formal meal. And again, it's analogous to a wedding where you first mill around in an ante room for cocktails and hors d'oeuvres, and there's no sense of essential focus. There's no speaker, no one's quiet, no one's looking the same direction. But then you go into the next room and you sit down at your tables, and now it's already a different atmosphere. So our progression is from standing to sitting. Their progression was from sitting to lying down. No problem. So I'll read it from the beginning again. Hayu Yoshvim, right? That's the Dibur Matril, the quote from the Mishnah. Below Haseva, they were sitting without reclining. The Siman Hu Shalom Nitva Du, and that's a sign that they did not yet come together. Lechol Yachat, to eat together. Kama. Shirigilim Hayu Kshe Mitva Adim Chaburot Anashim Lechol, that they were used to when we're coming together. Chaburot anashim, groups of people, lechol, to eat. Shayu misubim, that they used to, misubim, language of haseva, they would lie down, al, on, next page, on hamitot, this is the left-hand column, they would lie down on couches. Vochlim, and they would eat vishotim and drinking b'hasevat smol, reclining on the left-hand side. So that just gives you the background to understand our Mishnah. So now we can understand the Mishnah. So we'll go to the Mishnah, which is printed, of course, in a separate sheet. It's also printed in the middle of the commentaries we're just looking at. But we can go back to the separate sheet of Mishnah. And we could end with some of the questions. The first question was something we just answered. My first question was, the verb hasevu stands in contrast to what other verb used in the Mishnah? We've just said it three times.
Yoshvim.
Yoshvim, right? Yoshvim, I should say. Right. And that's a progression. And then the second question on my sheet says, when echad mivarech lechulan, right, when it says in the Mishnah that one blesses for all of them, what do you think is required of kulan? It doesn't say the answer in the Mishnah. That's something Amen. We should know from our...
Answer Amen.
Answer Amen. And before that?
We said intention.
Intention, right, kavanah. Of course. They should have... they have to listen, of course. They have to intend. They have to have the kavanah to be yotze in the bracha of the mivarech, and they have to say amen. But nothing here that we didn't know earlier. What is the halachic or conceptual innovation of the ruling that echad mivarech lechulan? And then it's not written in the Mishnah either. But what it's pretty unique to say you don't have to say a bracha yourself. You can hear someone else's bracha.
One can perform a mitzvah for another person.
Yeah, that's true. But, of course, that's very radical. You can't put on tefillin for me. So if we want to define it better, in this case...
One blesses for all.
Blessing. You could say a blessing for someone. And to be more specific, it means that conscious hearing can take the place of speaking. Right? The mitzvah is to say a blessing. But I did not say a blessing, you said it, and I listened to it consciously. So we learn that conscious listening, intentional listening, can take the place of speaking. And the way the halachic sources express that chidush, that innovation, is, anyone know? Just two Hebrew words. Shomea ke'one. Shomea ke'one means listening is like one, is like speaking. Most of you might think the word one means to answer, but it really means more generally just to speak. Shumea ke'one is a basic halachic principle, which means that the basic obligation is not to say the bracha, It's to have a bracha said and for you to intentionally connect to it. But you don't have to say the words, Shomea Ke'one. Okay. Next question, 4. What state or situation symbolized or created by Hasevo facilitates the ruling that Ahad Mivarech Lekulan?
Is it together as a group?
Right. Togetherness, community. And in Hebrew, or in halachic language, there are two words we use to describe this situation of the creation of community, of temporary halachic community that allows there to be enough of a togetherness so that one person can say the bracha and the others can use that in the form of Shomea Ke'oneh for their obligation. And that is either the word siruf, which means like litzaref minyan, to bring together a minyan, siruf. You don't mean a minyan, that's an example. Or kviut. Kviut means language of keva, of fixedness, stability.
Kviut?
Do you spell... Here's siruf. And here's kviut. As an example of this, here... In this very room, every Shabbat morning, Rabbi Pearl says Kiddush, and everyone fulfills their obligation. You might have heard it said, you have to stand in one place. Because if you're walking around, you're not part of the Kviut. There has to be a certain framework that brings us together as one community, so that one person can say the bracha for the others.
Can both of those words mean the same thing?
They're slightly different halachic...
Community, or...?
Kviut means like kever, set stability, setness. Where seruf means joiningness. So if someone is outside in the lobby, he's not part of the seruf. If he's walking around the room, he's not part of the kviut. You have to stay in one place. And then you, of course, have to intend. Okay. Because let me just make that clear again. When we're here for Kiddush, it's much more similar to the anteroom of the wedding than it is to the main room of the wedding. In other words, it's much more similar to the Yushvin than it is to the Hasevo, which really means, according to the Halakha, each person has to say their own bracha. This is not the kviut that's created. So in order to create that kviut, we ask everyone to sit, to stand in one place and not move, as if they're sitting down in some type of framework. Okay. Next, 5. In the above-mentioned state, why do you think, in other words, in the state when there is kviut, and we say Ahad Mivarech Lekulam, why do you think that it's not only permitted that Ahad Mivarech Lekulam, but it's even preferred or mandated? And again, the answer is not there in the Mishnah. You have to think about it a little bit. What might be good about having one person say the bracha for all, as opposed to everyone saying it separately?
Well, what I said in our group doesn't feel quite right anymore in light of what you're saying, but what I said was, it's a way of just announcing it's time to eat. In other words, so that it's part of the progression of the meal. We've come, we've sat down, but that it feels like there's more to it than
there's,
that.
There's more to it.
When one does it, everybody is silent. And if everybody does it, it's like here, you know.
It's like a balagan. Yeah, that's the answer. In other words, pomp and circumstance. There's a certain regality, a certain formality, a certain honor that's created when everyone joins together. Mm-hmm. And halachically, the way that we express that idea is by using a verse from the book of Mishlei, the book of Proverbs, that says, and I'll also write this down on my whiteboard here, Barov Am Hadrat Melech. In the many of the people is the glory of the king. Barov Am Hadrat Melech. I remember that when I was much younger, And I first starting learning halakha, this is the first principle I learned, when the teacher said that if you're a guest at someone's house on Shabbat and they ask you, do you want to make your own kiddush Friday night? The guest should say, Barov am hadrat melech. In other words, no, I don't want to make my own kiddush, because the halakha is the more people who do something together as a unified group, the more glory of God there is. Barov am hadrat melech. Now, despite that fact, there is this strange Ashkenazi custom that people make their own kiddush. I don't know if you know that in Dallas.
No, for
what's the little
Erev Shabbat?
Nel Shabbat. Yeah.
No, I never.
I've seen it by Ashkenazi.
Yeah, this. I don't know what if it's from
more
Galicia.
Than one person will say the kiddush Friday night.
Yeah, I had someone
night
at my house. The other
yes.
A guest wanted to.
Yes,
say
I don't know if it's
kiddush
from Galicia, if it's from Lita. I don't know where
tradition.
It's from, but it's wrong. But a lot of
his tradition, right. Always make kiddush.
Right.
We used to do it as a child. We did that on Pesach, on Seder night.
Uh-huh.
Everybody
uh-huh.
Who wanted to make kiddush made kiddush.
Uh-huh.
We'd go around the room, and each person,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
would make kiddush separately.
What's the literal? What's the?
But that's
the rove in the many of the am, in the many of the people, is the hadrat, is the hadar, is the glory of the king. The more the merrier. Okay. What do you think might be the modern equivalent of a hasebo that we talked about? It means sitting around the same table, of being in the same dining room together with a central focus.
Group sitting.
Group sitting. Right. Number 7. In the case of hasebo, over what foods does echad mivarech lekulam? Let's look at the Mishnah and think, what food is it? I'll read the Mishnah. Hayu yoshvim lechol kol echad v'chad mivarech latzmo. So that's the hors d'oeuvres, right? They're all on their own seats. But then hasebo, they are all on their couches. Echad mivarech lechulan. So what foods do you think it is?
Wine and bread.
Right. That's very possible that it's just wine and bread. That the minute there is bread, then there's no need for other brachot, except for wine. So it could be just wine and bread. But it also could be that before they bring the bread, there are finger foods in the framework of this hasebo.
Yeah.
Could be.
Papperet.
Oh, that's a gold star.
Bring the papperet.
Bring the papperet, right. Yeah. Right, so it could be. So it's at least lechem v'yayin, but it might also be parperet.
Yeah.
So you make a blessing over that parperet.
If you didn't have the bread yet.
Yes, of
and
course.
If it's even if, right, we did last week.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. 8. What do we learn from this Mishnah about the unique requirements of the blessing over the wine that would apply even when one is eating alone? That would be, we just said, in other words, that wine is not covered by bread.
Right.
Because see, this Mishnah says, "Hasebo echad mivrech lechulam," and that might mean bread. But then it says, "Balem yain betoch hamazon kol echad v'chad mivrech latzmo." Why do you have to say a blessing at all? Apparently, you have to say a blessing over wine, even if you said one over bread. Now, today, when we have a Shabbat meal, if someone brings you during the meal the same wine that was used for kiddush, you don't say a blessing over it, but that's because you said the blessing for kiddush. That the blessing lifnei hamazon applies during the mazon. But if there was no kiddush, then you'd have to say a blessing over the wine, because wine is not covered by the bread. Just like the cake might not be covered by the bread, so wine is not covered by the bread.
So this is where we first learn out that wine is not covered by the bread.
Right here, it assumes that you know it. And it's building upon that halakha, but so we reveal it. It's revealed from here that it's not. And it makes perfect sense. Again, what comes with the bread is covered by the bread.
And if you make a blessing over the wine, you know, before starting the meal, before starting the blessing of the bread, after the blessing of the bread, they bring a better wine, like you were saying.
Right. That requires a different blessing. That's Birkat HaTov V'Meitiv. That's a completely different subject. But if they bring the same wine, then it's already covered by the Yain Shilif Nehamazon. Okay, next. Does the state of Betoch HaMazon relate to Yoshvin or to Hasebu? That's so easy as to be ridiculous.
I was going to try and answer, but now you've scared us. Hasebu.
Of course, right? Once the meal begins, everything is Hasebu. Okay, next question. What is surprising or incongruous about the ruling that Yayin Betoch HaMazon? Yeah.
I thought we already had some wine before the meal.
Okay, but so we didn't.
That's what's surprising to me.
Uh-huh.
We've contemplated earlier in our Mishnahs, first you have wine before the meal, and it covers all the other wine.
You're right. Okay, you're 100% right. Okay, you're right. But I guess we have to assume here that there wasn't any wine beforehand, right, or something else. We'll talk about it in a minute. You know what? Since you brought it up, let's talk about it right now. Let's go to the Malechet Shlomo. I'll show you where it is. The Malechet Shlomo. The Malechet Shlomo is on the second page. The second photostatic page. At the bottom of the right-hand column, that's Malechet Shlomo, the bottom of the right-hand column, three lines in brackets there. Yeah, Kol Echad Mevarech Latzmo. The second page, not the first one.
Yeah.
The very bottom, over here.
Yeah, you're in the...
Is that the second page or the first page?
Oh, the second.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he says, Af al gav de yayin shelefnei hamazon poter yayin shelachar hamazon. Even though, he's going in the direction that David went in, even though that wine before the mazon exempts wine that's after the mazon, kol shekein zeh shelefanav, and all the more so this that's earlier. In other words, all the more so if wine lifnei hamazon exempts wine achar hamazon, it exempts wine betoch hamazon, right, during the mazon, all the more so. So why does our Mishnah have someone saying a bracha over the wine during the mazon? Because like David said, we assume everyone has wine before the mazon. You have a question? So his answer is, shiny hacha, it's different here. Shiny hacha, different here. Kevan she'alu lahasev, since they arose to recline, havi shinui makom. It is a shinui of makom, a place. V'tzirich levarech, and you have to say a bracha. In other words, shinui makom mechayev bracha, requires a bracha. Go to a place, to a new place, your
change
old bracha.
Place, yeah.
Change your place, right? The old bracha only applies in the old place. If they went into a different room, then it needs a new bracha.
Another bracha, yeah.
Even in the same building, it's a different room, you're saying.
According to, right, this. Shinui Makom is one of the most controversial areas in Hilchot Brachot. What's the definition of Shinui Makom? But the way the Malechet Shlomo is understanding the Mishnah is that there was enough Shinui Makom going from Yoshvin to Hasebo that's the reason why a bracha is required for the Yayin that's Betoch HaMazon, within the Mazon, even though there could have been Yayin Shelifnei HaMazon. And a different answer could have been, there was no Yayin Lifnei HaMazon. But his answer is, even if there was, there's been Shinui Makom.
It's interesting. So sometimes you sit by a table and you have your dinner, and then you like to go sit by the other table where your friends are.
Okay, so that's in the same room. Here is assuming it's a different room, that there was one room, the ante room where they were milling, they were sitting down, but then the other room with the couches
another
around
room,
the wall,
yeah.
It's another room. That's a shinui makom.
Make another blow.
Okay, so that might be why they have to say a bracha at all, but still ask myself, if I have to say a bracha at all, why do they say that bracha with each person individually. Why not have one person say it for everyone? Because we just said that the minute they go into the room of reclining, they have this kfiut, the tsiruf, everyone is together, and it says Ahad Mevarech L'Kulam right there. End of the second line of the Mishnah says one blesses for all. But then why for the Yayin that comes at the same time, does everyone say their own bracha? That's another question. Can anyone think of an answer to that question? Why you had, for the bread, let's say, one person said they bracha for everyone, then the wine, everyone says their own bracha. So the answer is found in the Bar Tanura. So the Bar Tanura is on this, in the same page we just were on of the handout, where we had the Melechet Shlomo at the bottom. So back to the Bar Tanura, where you see 4 or 5 lines from the top of the Bar Tanura where my finger is. The Bar Tanura says, Ba lehem yayin betocha mazon, kol echad mevarech latzmo. Came to them yayin within the mazon, during the mazon. Everyone blesses by themselves. Says the Bar Tanura, Ho'il ve'ein beit abli'ah panui. Since the throat, the gullet, is not free. Ve'ein lev ha'misubim poneh ela mevarech. And the hearts of the recliners are not faced or focused towards the blesser. Ela livloa mashabifiyem, rather to swallow what's in their mouths. In other words, once everyone begins eating, even though they're in the same room and they're together, they're eating. And they can't focus their attention on the one person that's going to say a bracha, because they're focusing on swallowing the bread that they're eating. So once the meal, so before the meal begins and everyone's together, one person says a bracha for everyone. But the minute they start eating, then everyone's dealing with their food. They can't focus on one person who's saying the bracha. People want to drink wine at a different time, they're eating. Yeah, makes a lot of sense. Okay. We're going on back to the questions, unless anyone wants to say something. Okay. Let's go to question 13. In the case of a har hamazon, which blessing is being referred to? So I have to go back to the Mishnah notice. The Mishnah said at the end, in the middle of the second line, Ba lehem yayin betoch hamazon, came wine within the meal, kol echad v'echad mevarech latzmo. Lachar hamazon, after the mazon, each person is mevarech, one person blesses for all of them. So it's kind of difficult here, because it seems we talk about the yayin. If yayin became during the mazon, everyone says the blessing separately. If it comes after the mazon, then one blesses for kulam. So why does one bless for kulam? Because if it's after the mazon, then they don't have their stomachs and their mouths full of food. So they can focus on one person saying the bracha. But it's a little hard to understand why does anyone have to say a bracha, because they already had wine earlier. That's a little bit difficult. It could be a case in which there wasn't wine earlier. Or it's just telling us that if there's a dessert, then one person says the blessing for everyone, not wine, but something else. One person says the bracha for everyone. Because again, they're together, because they're reclining, and they don't have food in their mouths, so they finished, they silku yadehem in a pot, they took their hands away from the pot. So have one person say the bracha for everyone, because Barov Am Hadrat Melech, in the many of the people is the glory of the king.
But in our last Mishnah we said the blessing before covers after.
Right, so I said, so if they did have yayin before, then this must be referring to something other than yayin.
Oh, okay.
Which doesn't really fit, it's hard.
Okay.
It is a bit of a problem here. It seems to be talking about wine, which would have to mean, it's telling you, if you do have wine, when you didn't have it earlier. Yeah, the commentators have some issue here, have some problems here. Let me just, do we have a minute left?
Yeah.
Yes, we do have a minute left, even 3. Okay, we have gotten to 14. Oh, we just did with 14.
Yep.
I said, why is a blessing required at all?
Yep.
So, oh, there's another possible answer. Why blessings required here at all? Because it might be, even though the wording is Achar HaMazon, you could say perhaps it's Achar HaSuda, after the said Birkat HaMazon. Then it would require a new bracha of wine. Because let me make it clear. Let's say we said the bracha on yain before the mazon, or during the mazon, and then you said Birkat HaMazon, that wipes out the applicability of the earlier brachot. So it could be here that Lachar HaMazon really means Lachar HaSuda. But that's not likely, because later it uses the phrase Lachar HaSuda. And I assume if it uses two phrases, one Lachar HaMazon, the other Lachar HaSuda, they mean two different things. Which I mean, here it means after the food, but before the end of the Suda. When it says after the Suda, then it means after Birkat HaMazon. So it probably means that it's before Birkat HaMazon, probably. It's before Birkat HaMazon. Why do you have to say the Bracha of the Yayin? So again, perhaps they didn't have Yayin before the Mazon, or because perhaps it's not talking about Yayin, but some other food. But we have difficulties, I admit it.
And HaMazon doesn't mean Birkas HaMazon?
It probably doesn't. It probably means after they push their hands away from the pot, but they didn't say Birkat HaMazon yet. Otherwise, it would be called Achar HaSuda, after the meal, not just after the Mazon part, but after the whole meal. Nothing is completely certain here, but the broad outlines are. Okay, a little bit more before we finish. I just did that question, okay? Let's see, what's the next question? We just did 15, basically. Mm-hmm. 16. Who is being referred to in the sentence, V'hu Omer al Hamugmar? And he says over the spices. But that's our easy question, don't worry. I'm not going to jump on anyone for getting it. Who is this who says the blessing over the spices?
The same one that did the...
Yeah, the same one that did the previous one, which seems to be the person that said over the wine.
So we relate it to how we do it. So we have we say break Ria Guffin at the end of benching, if we have a large group at least.
Right.
And so that's one person.
Mm-hmm.
Although it's a different context. We're not really trying to be Yotze of wine then, because we're not really drinking any wine then. But
yeah, but if there were to...
It's reminiscent. It's just presumably...
But here again, though, it might be before Birkat HaMazon.
I know.
That's after Birkat HaMazon.
Yes.
So, but if we have someone who's saying a bracha for everyone before Birkat HaMazon, the bracha of the Yayin, then we give that person the honor of also being the one to say the next bracha for everyone, which is the bracha of the smelling of the spices. They have something like, I think in America it's called a hibachi, like yeah. a little coal-burning barbecue. They bring it into the room, put the spices on it, and fill up the room with a good smell.
And the next blessing is the blessing over the lights.
Over the lights. No, just over the smell. Because remember, in those days, this basically was their perfume. And it was necessary. People didn't take a bath that often. So to make things more pleasant, they had the mugmar.
But why after the meal? Why not before?
I don't know. I can think of like it's like taking a smoke after the meal, you know. But you're saying it was just as necessary before.
Maybe part of dessert.
Yeah, yeah.
It's part of the pleasant after meal dessert, whatever.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
They're getting ready to leave, so.
These people are very, very, very rich. Very rich people.
Yeah, it does seem to be a description of the high classes, aristocracy. The last line of the Mishnah, Afal pi she'ein mivim et mugmar ela lachar suda. Even though we don't bring the mugmar except after the suda. That's even though we already said Birkat HaMazon, we're still going to honor for the blessing over the mugmar the person who said the bracha before Birkat HaMazon over the wine. Even though time has passed and it's a new ball game, because we already said Birkat HaMazon, we're still going to honor that person with the bracha over the mugmar. That seems to be what that line means. And let's see if there's any questions we want to do now. We'll do number 19 and 20 and then we'll finish. How might the principle that Achad Mevarech LeKulam be in some sense an extension of the concept on the previous Mishnah that Mevarech LePat Patar Tepaperet? I'll just explain that quickly, that we said in the previous Mishnah the blessing over the pot covers the parperet. And the idea was that a blessing extends over more than just the particular food you set it over. It has a larger application. In that case, because of the principle of bless on the ikar, you cover the tefel. Here we're learning, in our Mishnah, it's not just that one blessing of one person covers other foods of that person, but that a blessing of one person can cover other people. Because we're talking about the expansion of the diffusion of the influence of a bracha. I think that's the common theme. But of course the difference between the previous Mishnah and that one is then it was talking about one person saying a bracha for different foods, now it's talking about different people being covered by the same bracha. But the principle is the principle of the diffusion of brachot, if you will. Diffusion of the influence of brachot. Okay.